Welcome to episode one of season four, The Art of Community. Today, we are re-releasing one of our favorite episodes from season one, Baptism.
That's right. We are kicking off season four with baptism. And you might say, well, what does baptism have to do with community? Well, we'll tell you. We're going to tell you right now in a few quick words. Baptism in the faith, in the Christian faith tradition, is all about community. When you're baptized as a baby or baptized as an adult, or when you're Jesus and you're baptized by John the Baptist, you're baptized in community.
And really, you know what? I almost think of it as like a wedding, how you do participate in a wedding. Yes. You're making a vow to God, right? But you're also making a vow to the community, and the community is making a vow to you. So you're saying, as the person being baptized, I want to walk in this way. I'm intentionally stepping into the water or having water poured on my head, because this is the outward sign of something that's happening inward, my desire to follow Jesus. So I'm committing to trying to model my life after Jesus. And you're doing that in front of the community so that you're making a commitment, a public commitment, and the community is making a vow back to you to encourage you in your faith life, to pray for you, to challenge you, to hold you accountable, to do all of that good stuff that community does.
And so we thought, what better way to start the art of community than by starting it with baptism? And so we encourage you, listen to this episode, and then again, visit thecollectivetable.org to get the full collection of components, materials that you'll need to be in a small group, or maybe with just another person, in conversation, in discussion about baptism. You'll get a meditation, you'll have some art and some music, and then questions that will go along with it.
Yeah, so feel free to dive deep into baptism. We know it's a complicated topic. We talk a lot about it in the episode. And then, as always, if you have questions about the episode or the content, please feel free to email us. We're always available to be in conversation. We enjoy it so much, and we're open to any kind of feedback. But again, we're just grateful to be on the journey with you.
Enjoy the start of the Art of Community with baptism.
Hi. Welcome to The Collective Table. I'm Reverend Chelsea, and this is Dana Black.
Howdy.
We have a very interesting topic today. We are talking about baptism.
Ooh, baptism.
So whether you've been baptized or you haven't, whether you're interested in being baptized or you're not at all, there's still something in this episode for you. We just want you to walk away with maybe learning something new about baptism. And we also want you to walk away with maybe a better understanding of what it means to be human, especially right now in this contentious time. What does it mean to be human? And what does God say to that?
At this table, there is no fear. You are not erased. At this table.
To say that when we came into having this conversation, I had a lot of anxiety because this baptism is a church sacrament. It belongs to the church. And I know for a fact that our audience are a little bit of all over. Some people, like you said, have been baptized, some haven't. And we're not trying to encourage people one way or the other, but really just trying to give them some information and hopefully let them know that no matter what, you are beloved, and there's a humanness and there's a message in everything for all people.
Right. And we might not cover, we will not cover everything in 20 minutes.
No way.
But we do invite you, if you have questions, yes, or comments, there's a number of ways that you can interact with us. We love to have continue the conversation with you. So you can put a comment in the YouTube feed or
correct,
the YouTube comments. You can email us at info@thecollectivetable.org.
Yes.
Or follow us on social media, and you can direct message us or put a comment. But we really would love, this is a complicated topic, but we'd love to hear your feedback and questions.
And as Chelsea said, we love to talk about this
stuff. We do love to talk about it. So...
Okay. So for today, the main focus actually is going to be on Jesus's baptism. Yes, Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And so that's what we really want to highlight for the audience today. And Chelsea, you're going to summarize the scripture for us so we can really focus in on that and kind of go from there.
Yeah. So Jesus was baptized and we celebrate it as a feast day in the church. I mean, it is the baptism of our Lord, the baptism of Jesus. So it's a big day for us the church. And so the story of Jesus getting baptized is in all four Gospels. But John the Baptist, who was Jesus's cousin, was going around through different communities telling people to repent of their sin. Now let's pause right there, because those are two big words.
Pause button.
Sin really, I think it really like raises red flags for people. Like sin, I tune out. I don't want to hear anymore about that. And it does have a bad rep, but we kind of have a different view on it.
We do. So I struggled with this word for a very long time. And really what I have learned, I've relearned my theology over the last 20 years. Sin is brokenness. It's brokenness with yourself. It's a broken relationship with others. It's a broken relationship with God. It's a broken relationship with the systems that we live in, where people are hungry and homeless and oppressed. So it really just is a broken relationship.
Yeah. And sometimes things that happen in the world deserve the weightiness of the word that is used. Like there are things that are happening in our lives and our hearts and our world that deserve the word sin. Like there is brokenness that we need repentance for, which brings our next word. But repentance is really just the recognition of that sin, of that brokenness, and then asking the forgiveness and the expectation and hope of something better and new. Right.
The change or the transformation. Right. I mean, I always think about, you know, we've talked about, or I've talked about how there are times where I felt unworthy or not good enough, right? That's a sin, that's a brokenness within myself. And then to transform and change and realize that I am a beloved child of God and nothing changes that. Yeah. That's a perfect example of within it myself.
Yeah, repair that relationship with yourself. So John is going around really telling communities that we need to repent, that we need to hope for the better and start the healing process that the world needs and that we need. And so Jesus comes, and Jesus, for the last 30 years, has kind of been living a private life. His public ministry has not yet started. So he comes down to the Jordan River and gets in line with everybody else and walks out into the water and has John baptize him. Yeah. And as Jesus is coming up from the water, the heavens break open, and God speaks the words, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love." And so just this beautiful reflection of before Jesus did anything, before Jesus fed 5,000 people, before Jesus healed lepers, before Jesus resurrected, that God spoke the words of pleasure and of love over him. And then he was able to go out and start his public ministry.
Absolutely. And so that really is, you know, if you walk away with nothing else, right? It's the low hanging fruit of this conversation is that you are beloved first, first and foremost. Before you do anything, you are beloved. God loves you. It is freely given to you. It is just there.
Yeah, you can't earn God's love.
You cannot,
and you cannot lose God's love.
That is correct. Yes. So
that's kind of the scripture of Jesus getting baptized. He gets baptized with everybody else. And we'll dive into this beloved that God spoke these words over him before he did anything, speaks to us too, that God speaks those words of belovedness over us, that we are beloved children of God before we do anything. We can't earn it. Some of us think if I succeed a little bit more, if I earn a little bit more, if I do more, if I serve more, even in the most positive ways, if I, you know, feed more people, it doesn't matter. God loves you the same today, yesterday, and always. So
yeah, and I think that in and of itself is even a little complicated for people to digest, because we've talked about it, Chelsea, that it's hard to even give somebody an analogy to that, because I'm not sure I understand. I mean, I believe I have unconditional love for my children. There's nothing that they could or could not do that would change that. And I think that's probably the closest I get. But at the same time, could my children choose to at some point in time love me or not love me? So I think even understanding that you are beloved and it is freely given to you is just something to sit with and gnaw with and just wrestle with as you walk away from this.
And it's something we need constant reminder of.
Constant reminder, yes.
And so we'll talk more about that later too, but I think, just to remember that it's part of being human too is to we need reminders of that. We need people to speak words of love to us and for us and about us. You know, Jesus was fully human and fully divine. Jesus needed those words spoken over him just as well.
Absolutely. And it is why we remind ourselves of our baptism, those that have been baptized. And that's one of the elements that we'll talk about today. The second thing is, and this is, I think this is really the universal thing, is that people get into the water because there is a heaviness to being human. And we've talked about the brokenness. We've talked about that weight. And you get into the water with all of that.
Yeah. For thousands of years, people have carried on the tradition of getting baptized as a way of also saying that we're all connected, that by virtue of being human, we are connected in the way that there is brokenness, there is sin, and there is also hope for better.
Absolutely.
So you get into the water because you feel that weight of being human, that the systems that are set up to oppress certain people and to benefit other people, or all the isms that we talk about, racism, sexism, you know, just basic forms of oppression. But like, we're all connected in that just because we're human.
They are, I was going to say, they're human manufactured. We create them. And yet when you come out of the water, you realize that you are a part of something deeper, more profound, cosmic even, that there is something, and I always have a hard time of finding the exact words of how to articulate it, but there is something more perfect that is out there.
Yeah, that you're desiring for and hope for. So you go into the water with a heaviness, but you also come out of the water with a renewal and opportunity for new life to respond differently
in the world. And then a part of this is Jesus does this in community. I think this is so critical. Jesus is not doing this in the cover of darkness at night or in front of no one but John the Baptist in secret. No, Jesus is doing this out front in daylight in front of everyone. And that's what we also engage with when we do baptism in the church. It is in front of the entire community.
Yeah. Not only does it speak to that we're in it together, but it's also, you have this community around you that supports you, loves you, encourages you, teaches you the ways of what it means to be Christ-like Christian. I know when we were baptizing my son Max, who's 2.5, almost 3 now, he was young, but I wanted to go down to the beach. We live in San Diego, so right down to the water. But I needed the community to be there because these are going to be your Sunday school teachers. These are going to be the people that take you on youth group trips. These are going to be the people that pray and love and serve you. I mean, it's the community that teaches you the patterns of being Christian.
Yeah. And I know that I don't remember my baptism because I was baptized as a baby, but yet I still, my ups and downs with the church, I've come in and out and struggled and wrestled with different theology, but the church has always been here for me. The community of the church has always been here for me when I needed it. And I knew that. I always knew that. You know, deep in my heart. Yeah. So
do you have to be baptized to be loved by God?
No.
And we really hope you know that leaving.
If you don't know nothing else by the end of today, it's that you do not need to be baptized to be loved by God.
You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to do communion. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do any of it to be loved by God. You can't earn it and you can't lose it. And so really sit with that at some point to really know that you are beloved.
And then the next two points are also really important. Do you have to be baptized to recognize your humanity is wrapped up in others, which really just means to recognize that you're a part of community?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Lots of people who are not baptized or not Christian are doing amazing things with their communities, are involved in other aspects of their community, which leads into the third one. Do you have to be baptized to respond?
No. Yeah. There are plenty of people that are doing good works in the world that have never been baptized or don't want to be baptized.
Right.
You know, there are people that are feeding people and serving, you know, frontline workers. Like, you look at all the nurses and doctors right now. I mean, there's a selflessness that exists. And it doesn't matter that you're baptized or not.
So the question then, the million-dollar question is, so why get baptized?
Yeah. And it's an important question. And you hit on it a little bit earlier about talking about this is a gift of the church. So it is a church ritual or sacrament. And I kind of think of my wedding when I think about getting baptized. I stood in front of a community of people that I loved to make this commitment. Did Ryan and I have to get married to love one another, to create a life together? No, but marriage is hard. And I wanted to make those commitments because I needed the community to support me, encourage me, but also hold me accountable.
Yes.
It is richer or poor. It is health and
sickness. And in health.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a roller coaster of things that happen in a marriage and life. And I wanted to be accountable to the commitment of that I was making.
Yeah, and you said something there that just struck me, and that is marriage is hard, and yes, it is. but so is being a Christian. So there is that element of community too. When you proclaim Christianity as a Christian, it doesn't mean that everything's just perfect now. I'm good to go. Nothing's ever going to be challenged. No, it is hard.
Yeah.
God asks us to respond in ways that are often uncomfortable for us.
Yeah. It is a gift and a task. It is the most freedom, most love that you can experience, but it also requires something of you. It asks you to love your enemies, right? It asks you to lay down your life. I mean, these are not easy things to do.
Not at all. And so, so it is hard too. And then for me, I talked about, why get baptized, and it is a reminder to me every day that I'm a part of something bigger. And again, I don't have the perfect words to articulate this, but it reminds me that, just the crap around me is not God's will, right? The brokenness that's around me, whether it's in myself, whether it's in the society, the systems, the government, the relationships that I have, it's not. There's something bigger and deeper and richer out there.
Yeah, it's the reminder that beloved is written on your heart, that you are claimed by God, that you're initiated into God's family. Mm-hmm. It's expansive.
Yeah.
When I think about baptism, especially in that way of being claimed, I think about have you ever seen Toy Story?
It's been several years now, as my youngest is almost 13, but yes.
We were watching it the other night, and there's the one scene in there where, if you've never seen Toy Story, it's this little kid, Andy, who has a favorite cowboy, Woody, and it's his birthday, and he gets the new cool toy, Buzz Lightyear, and the two become enemies as they fight to be Andy's favorite toy. And one day, Buzz Lightyear, who's an astronaut, tries to fly, and of course he can't because he's a toy, falls and breaks one of his wings or his arm or something, and he's like at the lowest of the low. He thinks like, I'm no good. I'm not what I thought I was, just kind of in this depressed place. And it is Woody, his enemy, who comes over and says, "Look over at that house. There's a kid who thinks you're the greatest, and it's not because you're a space ranger, it's because you're his."
Mm.
And I almost tear up at that, because that's God's claiming mm-hmm. of us. And Buzz looks at it at the bottom of his foot, and Andy is inscribed in his boot. And I just think about that. That's inscribed on us too.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. And we hope that parents will maybe use this as a movie to watch with their kids, and to see that moment and just reflect, remember that they are God's.
Have a conversation with your kids. We'll put maybe even some discussion questions that you can engage in conversation with your kids about what it means to be claimed and loved no matter what.
No matter what. And don't worry, for the adults, we also have something as well. So if you're not familiar with the theologian Henry Nouwen, both of us cannot just encourage you enough to either get a book or download an audio. The one that we enjoy is Life of the Beloved, but there's many other options
as
well.
You can do any Henry Nouwen and be reminded that you're loved. Yeah.
A reminder that it's wonderful. So that resource will also be available for you on the website as well.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about a little bit earlier was that we can never be reminded of this enough, that we are beloved. It's almost daily that we need to be reminded of this.
Yeah.
I grew up in the church, and it's still, I need constant reminder. It's a big thing to really let sink in your heart and sink into your life. So we thought of what is a daily reminder maybe you can do. And so if you're washing your hands or taking a shower, maybe you can just pause and just, as the water washes over, that's God's love washing over you also, that God's love is really there for you.
Yeah, and it's using that ordinary element,
right?
Water. And if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we talked about ordinary elements that are out there, just using that element, whether you were baptized or whether you weren't baptized, to think of ways that water interacts with your life, and how God has chosen to show us grace.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's about the end of the episode.
Like we said, there's probably a lot of questions that this has brought up, or reflections, and we would love to hear from you. So please email us or put a comment in YouTube or social media. We could talk about it all day. So
all day.
We're really happy.
Please make sure if you like what you hear, or you're interested, to subscribe to our YouTube channel or to the podcast. Again, we'd love to get your feedback, and we're just so grateful that you're on this journey with us. You have a seat here.
For the entire Virtual Collective package, including the video version of this episode, music from Mystic Mercy, art by Jennifer Jones, meditations with Erica Gibson, book suggestions, and other resources, visit thecollectivetable.org. The Collective Table is supported by San Diego United Methodist Church in Encinitas, California. The original music you heard was created and performed by Mystic Mercy. This episode was recorded and edited by Stephen Hale. If you'd like to financially support the work of The Collective Table, please visit thecollectivetable.org.